So this week, a lot has been going on in the world. Amen? And a lot of things that we don't have answers for, and a lot of things that we can't simply just explain away. Right? War is a really terrible, terrible thing. And I know we pray for peace, and that seems like such a trite prayer, but frankly, friends, I don't have anything else today but to pray for peace in the world. Now, confirmands, I want to say something to you. We're going to hold that intention today with celebrating you, because you have been on a journey, and we are going to celebrate you. So I'm going to pray before I offer the message today. And as we start, I'm just going to leave a moment of silence where you can lift up whatever you want to lift up. And friends, so many people have said to me this week, what are the words? What are the words? That's why I say silence. Let God speak and see what God says in this moment. So let's pray. God, we come to you today not with answers, but with such pain in the world. And God, we do pray for the people of Ukraine. God, for the people of Russia who are put in this place. And while it may sound trite, God, I know that you are a God who is powerful that can do big things, and I pray for peace. Come, Holy Spirit. And even as we live in the tension, God, of all that is going on in the world, with our moment of celebration today, let us not miss celebrating the step that these students are going to take as they claim their faith in you. Because, God, it is that faith that helps us walk through realities like we're currently in. So come, Holy Spirit. As I speak today, God, speak through me in some way. God, give each of us ears to hear what you want us to hear. Open our minds to understanding. Let us open ourselves to being willing to be transformed today. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, confirmands, when many of you were 3 or 4 years old, January 12th, 2010, a huge tragedy came. A big deal, a big thing happened in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Does anybody know what it was? It was an earthquake. And it was an earthquake that shook the people. They already had a shaky electrical infrastructure, and this earthquake shook them, and it cut them off from the rest of the world in those moments. So there were people who were wondering what was going on, but even more so, the people of Haiti, the Haitians, were wondering, what do we do? So what people did was they flocked to the streets. They went out in droves. The people, the residents of the poorest nation in the world went out to be together. The poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, went out to be together in that moment because they knew what they needed at that time was each other. They needed to walk together. And actually, there was an article in NPR that summarized what happened in that moment. It said, for the Western Hemisphere's poorest country, the earthquake that hit Haiti in January of 2010 was an especially cruel blow. Despite this, and listen to this next part, it's important. It's hard to find a Haitian who doesn't profess a belief in a loving God. It's hard to find a Haitian who doesn't profess a belief in a loving God. Now, that's a remarkable thing to me. I got to be really honest. People who went through such tragedy walk out in the streets and in that moment say, but at least we have our faith in God. God will journey with us and walk through. So how did they express that? They sang. They went out in the streets all over and sang together. There's something about communal singing. It's not something we do outside of the church very often, but when we come together and the room is full and we're all singing, there is something about what we're claiming together. And that's what the Haitians were doing in that time. They're singing together. They were claiming their faith in God. Their voices rose up above the rubble. Because see, friends, in that moment, right then, the Haitians have something that many of us have actually lost. They have incredible gratitude, even in the midst of pain. Even in the midst of that which is hard, they have gratitude for God because they recognize that God's going to walk them through it. Today is Confirmation Sunday. Confirmands, you probably didn't expect me to open up with a story about Haiti in 2010. You're like, this is about me, right? I might tell you one of the most important things you could hold on to that could be transformative in your life. Maybe, just maybe, and I don't want to claim that I have the best words in the world, but maybe this is going to change your life. So I want everybody, whether you're online or in person, I want you to take a moment. I want to do a little experiment here. I want you to think of one thing in your life that you are grateful for. And if you are here in person, as soon as you can think of something, I want you to stand up right where you are. As soon as you think of something. As soon as you think of something you're grateful for, stand up if you can. All right, I want you to think about how quickly that happened. Look around this room. You can sit down now. You don't have to stand up the whole service. All right, look around this room and see how fast that happened. Yet generally, I would say that we are not naturally grateful people. Generally, I would say that we don't find ourselves in that place. We've been in a sermon series for a few weeks now, where we're talking about how we live a full life. The sermon series is called Strong Living. Look, friends, a lot of our lives, we just sort of go through the motions, right? I won't say which one of my children, but one of my children said to me, I can't wait for this summer. And I was like, oh, that's really exciting, all the things you got planned. And they're like, no, I won't be in school anymore, right? And as much as I'd like to say to my kid, how often do we do that? How often do we move through the motions of life and say, I can't wait to get to Friday, so that I can have the weekend just so that Sunday night comes around and we go, oh, sweet baby Jesus. We're going to do this again. Another time. That is not the way that we were designed to live. Right? When Jesus says in John 10, I've come that you may have life and life to the full, it is more than just going through the motions of the week. So in this series, we've been talking about how do we live in a strong way? How do we live our lives in a way that lives into those gifts and those strengths that we've been given? And then how do we share those gifts? And today I'm going to change gears just a little bit. I want us to think about the blessings that we have in our lives. I want us to move to a place of gratitude because research shows that people who are regularly counting their blessings are people who are living life to the full. Now listen, I have never been to Haiti. I know there are folks in this room who have. And they know about the joy that is expressed in the Haitian people, in their churches, in their lives. But I'll tell you, I spent some time in a similar experience in Sierra Leone, Africa. And it was after civil war had happened, and there were these kids who had been displaced from their families as a result of civil war, and they stayed in this children's home, a place where they could go and live. And friends, they went to school where they had classes with 80 to 100 people in each class. They didn't have textbooks. They didn't have variety in their foods, yet they were filled with such gratitude. In the moments of their lives, they would find themselves in these places of incredible gratitude, and they would share that. And I have to tell you, I found myself, a pastor at the time, going, I don't know that I fully get it. So I had to do some work in my own life to think about what is it that I am missing to get to this place of incredible gratitude. Now, I want to take us today to a psalm. Somebody was asking in one of the confirmation interviews. Each of these confirmands goes to an interview. And they were saying, where is a good place to start when I start reading the Bible? Because I want to read the Bible. And Aaron, who was there, I was giving some suggestions. And Aaron said, I love the Psalms. The Psalms are real. They're real people talking about real things. So we're going to go to a psalm today. Now, I'll tell you, to give you a little bit of context, it's a little hard with the Psalms because we don't always know who wrote them. We don't know where it's coming from. David wrote a lot of them, but they're not all David. So we often just say this is from a psalmist. That's what you do when you don't know stuff, right? A psalmist says this. Now, what we do know, because we're given a little bit of context, is this is in a time after exile, where they've been sent out of Israel, where they're away from their homes, where they don't have their things that they needed, where they're not in that place of comfort. So I want you to hear that when you hear this psalm today. Hear that context. So it's Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. Now, I want to do a little work with us today. I want to dissect this a little bit. Because a lot of times people will read a big chunk from the Bible, and then we'll walk away and we'll go, what was that? We had no clue what that meant. So I want to dissect a little bit. I want to pull out some of the important words. So the first thing I want to point to is how often the word all is used. Did you notice that? I might have punched it a little bit when I said it, so maybe you heard it. All, over and over again. God who does good for all will be praised by all. What's interesting about this is it seems to conflict with the way many of us think about the nature of God, or maybe what we read or we hear people who maybe aren't part of the church say about God, that the church is only for certain people or God is only for certain people. But this text specifically says all. You can say that a little bit louder. All. Okay. So hang on to that word. That's an important word that you'll hear in this. The psalmist seems to believe that God brings goodness and love to all people, not just the chosen people, as you may have heard. God brings goodness and love to all people, and that all people can respond to that goodness and love with gratitude. That's sort of the calling that the psalmist gives. It's believed that the psalmist who writes this is recovering from some serious illness. When people study this, they say something's going on. Not only are they in exile, they've been in a really hard place. They're dealing with something really difficult. And the psalmist is finding God in the midst of recovery. You're going to go through challenges in your life, really hard moments. And the psalmist says, in this moment, God is with me in the midst of it. And you hear that gratitude coming through. So don't think, sometimes I think when we read the Bible, we think, yeah, they've got it all together. God's all for them, so everything's okay. No, the psalmist is going through something big, something hard. And God meets the psalmist in the middle of the story. Now, some argue that it's not one individual person, it's the lament of a group of people. But whether it's one or a group, there's been pain. There's been challenge. The first five verses offer this invitation for people to praise God. Verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Offer praise to God. Now, the word bless here, we could simplify this and use our normal English colloquialism and say, oh, bless, like that's a sweet word. But that's not actually what the translation here is. The blessing here means, the word is barak, and it means to bend the knee before or bow before the Lord. And that's this picture of submitting myself to God because of God's grace and God's love for me. Not because God says I need it, but because of our love for God. The psalmist in the first verses is calling the people to kneel in a posture of gratitude. Now, maybe that's not physically kneeling. Maybe that's just saying, I'm grateful. God, I'm grateful that you journey with me. God, I am grateful that you are part of the story. Now, the next four verses allude to the fact that God pays us back for the way we behave. And lest you be afraid that means you're going to be punished for everything you do, read the passage. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you from the steadfast love with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good as long as you live. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The psalmist says, don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget them. And here, benefits relates to the fact of justice. Benefits relates to doing what, getting what we deserve, and that benefit is God's forgiveness. That's what God is saying, the psalmist is saying in this passage. The way God repays you for the things that you do is to forgive you. Hey, that's hope, right? Because, man, a lot of people try to tell you the way that God repays you is punishment. And that's not what the psalmist says in this moment. Perhaps this is a counter narrative to the ways and the things that you've heard about God in the past. But God's love meets you in the midst of your story, meets you with grace and forgiveness. And our calling is to respond with gratitude. Now, the psalmist says pit here, and you may have wondered, what is that word? What does it mean? Here, the word pit translates to oppression. When you find yourself or you find others in a place of oppression, a pit of despair, being outside of the ways that life is described by those who describe it with joy. Now, maybe I'm wrong today. Maybe when I had everybody stand up, maybe you felt forced. Maybe you said, I can't think of something to be grateful for right now. And friends, I think there are moments in our lives where we find ourselves in such a pit of despair that we can't be grateful. And that's where your church comes in. Because when you can't be grateful for something, there are other people who will stand around and be grateful for you. That's the benefit of community. That's the thing about journeying together with the grace and the love of God, walking together in community. There are moments when we are called to do that for other people, to be grateful for others, to stand in your stead when things are tough and things are challenging. The psalmist says that God redeems you from the pit, and perhaps that redemption comes in the form of community. Perhaps that's what's happening. Verse 6 speaks to this. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. That's a promise. That's a promise that God will be with you, that God will journey with you, that God will bring justice in the midst of oppression. The image of God is one that comprises this understanding of hope in the midst of despair. And that hope comes from the fact that God says, even when you're walking in the pit, I will be with you. Even when you don't sense me, I am there. Verse 8 on seems to be counterintuitive to many of the things that we've read about the Israelites or understood about the people that are the chosen ones. This says God doesn't get angry quickly. So for those of you that hear about the angry Old Testament God, the psalmist goes, I've experienced God, it's not true. God doesn't get angry quickly. God abounds in love. And verse 10 says, God doesn't repay us according to our sins. And remember, friends, this is pre-Jesus time. For those who say, well, God gets nice in the second half of the Bible, the psalmist says, you're wrong. That God is a God of love and grace from the beginning throughout all eternity. That God meets you in the midst of your story, in the midst of oppression, in the midst of the pit, and walks with you. So how are we going to be people who do what the psalmist says, who bless the Lord with our gratitude? Here's what I've come to understand about my own life, friends, and I don't know, same for you. I have to do it intentionally. I have to pay attention to things for which I am grateful. I have to record them. I have to write them down. That's why people talk about journaling all the time. Now, if you're not a person who journals, I can guarantee you most of you are people who text. Text it to yourself. Every day, text yourself one thing for which you are grateful. Because, friends, it's in that practice that we find ourselves becoming people who are grateful people, people of gratitude. The Haitians are grateful because they practice it all the time. What I realized about the kids in Sierra Leone, they woke up every morning and they talked about what they were grateful for. If you practice it, it will work. And when you find yourself in the pit of despair, or you find yourself in places where maybe the college that you wanted to go to doesn't seem to be lining up, Or you didn't get that grade you wanted on that test. Or maybe the person who you like doesn't like you back. Or maybe tragedy hits your family and something happens. In those moments, I'm not saying be grateful for those moments. I'm saying believe that God will walk with you through it. And that comes from a place of gratitude. So here's what I want to challenge everybody to do this week. This is not just the confirmands. I want to encourage you to write down or text yourself or email or however you want to do it, your moments of gratitude. Over and over and over again. And I bet if you commit to doing this for 7 days straight, you'll commit to doing it beyond that. And I bet you'll notice in day 3 that you're grateful for more things than you were in day 2. And I bet day 4 you'll be grateful for more things, because gratitude begets gratitude. At least that's what the psalmist says. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose today to listen to the psalmist. So do it. Do it today. Start today. You have lines in your worship guide, some space. Some of you take notes. Some of you don't. That's okay. But write down things that you're grateful for. And know that the God who loves you wants to journey with you through your life. Amen.